Scripture reading this morning comes from Numbers chapter 21, verses 8 and 9. That's Numbers chapter 21, verses 8 and 9. And I am reading from the New American Standard. And it reads, "Then the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent, and set it on a standard. And it shall come about that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, he will live. And Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on the standard. And it came about that if a serpent bit any man, when he looked to the bronze serpent, he lived."
In a scene from the Raiders of the Lost Ark, Indiana Jones at one point had dropped a torch into the Well of Souls, and he sees snakes. Indiana Jones was a tough guy. He was a master of the whip. He was a pretty good shot. But the one thing that he hates, the one thing that he feared, was snakes. And he was looking in that tomb underground, and he said, "Snakes. Why does it always have to be snakes?" And his friend leans over and he looks. And his friend said, "Asps. Very dangerous. You go first." How many of us have had friends like that? You go first. Snakes are something that there are a lot of people are afraid of, and especially the poisonous ones, and I can understand that. Snakes are not generally referred to in a positive manner, even in Scripture. When sin had entered into the realm of mankind, it was Satan who had taken on the form of a serpent. And what sin brought was death and pain and suffering and hardship and all the things that just aren't good. But even in the garden, when God was telling Satan and Eve and Adam the consequences of their actions, He did give some hope that there would come a time when the serpent would have its head feel the pain of the heel of the offspring of woman. Now, we have an account in the Bible of hope in spite of the pain that was bringing about death. It's about learning to look to the right place to be able to find life. You will turn to Numbers chapter 21. I want to look in verses 4 and 5, and the scripture reads here, from Mount Hor they set out by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the people became impatient on the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. "Why have you brought us out of the land of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we loathe this worthless food." Can we understand why there was a lot of times in the Bible that God called these people stiff-necked and stubborn? And can we honestly say that sometimes it describes us? If we were to take 40 years out of our life, a 40-year stretch in our lives, and if some of you aren't that old and you want to take 30 or 20, can we honestly say that there are times in those 40 years or 30 years or 20 years where we would be lacking some faith and maybe even complaining about our leaders, or maybe we felt in a wrong manner the way God has treated us. Maybe we think even unfairly. And we can't defend their actions. They were wrong. But we also want to truly believe that God will be the guide in our life. But we do need, though, to see what this scripture is teaching us. See, for people sin on several levels. The people here, they had quite a few. But the real sin is that they spoke against God and they spoke against Moses. In essence, God was not enough. It's hard to understand the miracles, the freedom from slavery in Egypt, the food that God provided that they didn't have to plant in order to eat. None of it was good enough. God was not good enough. You know, it's one thing to want to go back to the way that we lived before God became the reason for our life. But it's another thing altogether to say that God isn't enough to sustain us. The whole idea that we loathe this worthless food is a slap in the face of God. You know, if you want to go back seven chapters to Numbers chapter 14, the spies had come back from the land of Canaan where they were scouting things out. And in verse 1, it says in a loud cry in verse 4, "Let us choose a leader and go back to Egypt." Here is a truth. You do not need a leader to go backwards. You've already been there. You don't need a leader if you are going to sit and do nothing. You can do that all by yourself. But you do need God if you plan to have a life that will take you forward. These people, they loathed the manna that God gave them. But you know something, 1,500 years later, nothing changed. For Jesus, He said that He was the bread of life and that God has given to anyone who wanted it. And look at how many people refused that bread. And here we are, we're 2,000 years from Christ. And how many still find that true bread of life, Jesus Christ, to be worthless? And have that overwhelming desire to continue to wallow in the mud of sin. Our sins have consequences. And just as it reads in Numbers 21, verses 6 and 7, "Then the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people so that many people of Israel died. And the people came to Moses and they said, 'We have sinned. We have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that He take away the serpents from us.' So Moses prayed for the people." Romans 6:23 reminds us that the wages of sin is death. But we don't like consequences. Just ask your children, when they broke some of your rules and you took away something from them as a consequence, ask them if they liked the consequences. You know, we want to sin. Then we want to feel bad. And then we want to have God come and give us a bunch of grace so that we'll stop feeling bad. But we don't want the consequences. In these two verses, there are some truths. One, God sent the serpents. Two, when they started to die, they knew why the serpents were killing them. And three, the very ones that they were grumbling against were now the ones that they wanted to fix the problem. Moses, and God. We need to admit when we've sinned. That is a given. We all understand that. But I want us to look at their request. Their request was to take the serpents away from us. Let's think about just that for a moment. The serpents were a direct consequence of their sin. They didn't want forgiveness of the sins. They wanted the consequences taken away. They wanted to do away, wanted God to do away with the pain and suffering. How much are we like that today? How much does we go to God and ask Him to take something away that is a direct result of something we did wrong? We start to feel the pain of that sin, and what we want is to God to take away that pain. God wants us to look deeper and to want something more than just say, no consequences. God wants us to want Him. Verses 8 and 9, what Rusty had read just a few moments ago. And the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone that is bitten, when he sees it, shall live. And so Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on the pole. And if a serpent bit anyone and he would look to that bronze serpent, he would live. Here is the worst and the best part of what is true today. God has provided a way to live. But God did not take away the reality of what sin brought them. God gave them that bronze serpent. God did not remove the serpents. He could have, don't you think? God could have did away with all those serpents. But He didn't. Instead, God gave them a way to live. If I was to ask for a show of hands on how many would love God to be able to take away the temptation of sin from the world, how many of us would raise our hands? I think all of us in unison would raise our hands. But God doesn't, does He? Just go on out into the neighborhood, go on down in here into your towns and stuff this afternoon and go and see what goes on. All the temptations that we have. How many of us remember when we were growing up, the only thing open on Sunday was a church? You couldn't find a gas station open. If you were lucky, there would have been probably a restaurant that might have been open for just a couple hours, but you were going to have to drive to get to it. Sunday was a day that was devoted to our faith and to our family. But today, you can do anything you want on Sunday. You can get anything you want on Sunday. God does not take away that temptation. God continues to let us have a choice. And Satan continues to do his best to make us think that he has something better to offer than Jesus Christ. Friends, the snakes of this world will always be present. Until that day when that trumpet sounds in heaven, sin will be present. That snake will always be there. Sometimes you're going to see that snake, and other times you're going to step on it because it's so well camouflaged you'll never know it until it bites you. God give us a way to live. We're not looking at a bronze serpent to die. God wants us to look to the cross. Wants us to look to the cross. In John chapter 3, when Jesus was having this conversation to Nicodemus, and I want to give all credit to Nicodemus for wanting to truly understand what was happening and who Jesus was. And yet, Nicodemus was probably so confused at that point in his life because everything that he was taught is kind of being turned upside down. But when he was talking to Nicodemus about the kingdom of heaven, Jesus finished that part in verses 14 and 15. He says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. Now we have to be careful because there are those out there who say, see, you only have to believe. You only have to believe. That's what it says here. If we believe in Jesus Christ, we're going to believe in all of Jesus Christ and not just a couple of words. But you see who he wants us to look to today? Not a bronze serpent, but Jesus Christ. Jesus is the one who paid the ultimate price for us to live. Now, granted, we may still have to live with the consequences, but we now have a life where before there was only death in the future. I'd like to conclude the lesson in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. And Paul writes here, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." I think every single one of us love passages just like this because it brings it all home. It brings it all home. We're still going to have to face a cost of our sins. But that cost that we have to pay is physically here on this earth. We will not have to pay for that sin later because of God's grace. He's going to take it away. We will never see these snakes go away in our life. They will always be here. That's why this account is so important. And I know there are a lot of people that say, here's another story in the Bible. I don't like using stories, the word story, to do these because these are real things. We don't say, I want to tell you the story of the Battle of Gettysburg. No, we want to tell you the account of Gettysburg. It's one thing. These are accounts, not stories. They're true. They're real. They happened. We need to be reminded often of what the serpents do to us because we choose to go against God. We also need to be reminded that God provides a way to live through that bite, even though he doesn't take away the consequences. And we can be thankful that grace is extended to us because we need it more often than most of us really know. The same grace is offered to everyone, but in order to obtain the grace, you have to look to the cross. That's it. If you're not a child of God this morning, have you been going through life just glancing out of the corner of your eye at the cross and thinking, just because I'm taking this glancing look, that everything is all well and good. Moses told the people, look at this bronze serpent. God said, look at it. You'll be saved. He wants us to look at Christ. And that's what you need to decide this morning. While the consequences of your past sins will not go away, God's going to wash those rest away. You're going to be able to live a life full of hope, a hope of heaven. You only have to obey the gospel through repentance and confession and having your sins washed away in this watery grave. You can have that eternal life, or that hope of eternal life that God has promised. And if you are a child of God, and if you have been working around and being bitten by this serpent of sin, we don't want you to know that you only have to look to the cross. Come to Him and ask God for His forgiveness, and being continually washed in the blood of the Lamb, those sins will be forgiven. If anyone has a need this morning, we pray that you'll come. Together we stand and we sing.